Session number 23224, Reel 2.
Mr. Pewwood, Reel 2. You were saying it was an all-metal aircraft.
Yeah.
And this was the first time, I think, that...
Yes, I think it was. While I was there, they changed the design. I think they brought up the Wellington. That was the one they brought. But I never worked on that. Mm. And that was what Barnes Wallace had invented, what they called the geodetic principle of
construction.
Construction, yeah.
What sort of principle was used in the aircraft you were working on?
Oh, the straight, yeah.
The struts and panels.
Mm. Mm. But his design was a continuous.
Yeah.
It didn't stop. Yeah. It went two ways like that. I saw it. I thought it was marvellous.
Like a lattice.
Yeah, it was very strong, you see.
Yeah.
If a shell hit it, it didn't destroy the aircraft. Yeah. Mm. Two or three would have done, but one didn't.
What about the aircraft you were working on?
Well, it must have been the Gloucester Gladiator, as far as I know.
Mm.
Can't remember. Mm.
Would that have stood up to damage?
No. Mm. No, it's pre-war design, really.
Mm. When you got to Sandhurst, the Royal Military Academy, what sort of work were you doing when you arrived? What were you taking on to do?
I took on for 3 months, because they were short of money there, and they hadn't allayed for a third civilian, I was classed as a, what was it, cleaner. Yeah, cleaner.
Were you cleaning, or what were you doing?
Well, actually, I was maintaining the lathes.
Where were the lathes?
They were in the big hall.
Mm.
What was originally the power station that was built? You probably know it.
Where was it located?
Well, the sergeant's mess is almost next to it.
Ah.
It was later on called the MT section.
And what were the lathes used for? What was the purpose of having them?
They were used for instruction of the cadets, showing how to do turning or screwing. And we also had other machines, multiple drills, upright drills. They could take one or more drills. So, you could drill 5 holes all at once if you wanted to.
What was the syllabus that you were teaching then to the cadets?
It was general engineering, really.
Mm.
The basic principles.
Mm.
Turning, shaping, filing, all that kind of thing.
Did the cadets spend a great deal of time with you learning these things?
They had a certain part of the day they spent, say, an hour with us. Then they went to something else.
Mm.
It was only the people who wanted to go on to, what's that other place?
Would it be Shrivenham?
No. I think it was that was old established place.
Yes. So how many of them would you have normally?
We had 20 lathes, so we had 20 people.
So you'd have 20 cadets at a time.
A few more who wanted to learn something else. I taught from A to Weld, A to A to make a chill. I supplied them with a length of metal, you know, tool steel, and showed them A to draw that at the end into a chisel. And then what they did after that, they had to temper it. I showed them how to do the tempering. So we had blue for hard, extra hard work, or yellow for the softer materials. On top of that, I showed them how to use a hacksaw machine, and things like that.
What did a hacksaw machine do?
It cut up metal.
Was it a kind of continuous saw?
Yeah. But you had to know how to operate it.
Yeah. Well, presumably, would you do that with a jig to provide you with a pattern?
You had the jig was automatic. All it did was cut off the right length.
Right. What sort of units were these cadets going to, the ones who came to you?
Well, I was trying to think of the name of the place where they went. Can't think of the name of it. I was trying to think the other day what it was.
But were they going into the tank corps?
Oh, no. They were going into the engineering.
Oh, I see. Would they have been going to the Royal Electrical and Mechanical Engineers?
That's the sort of thing, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. On top of that, we had people, cadets, who wanted to learn more. And they used to come on a Wednesday evening for 2 hours. We used to finish at lunchtime and come back at 5 o'clock till 7 on a Wednesday for cadets who volunteered. And this is the sort of thing they volunteered for. We supplied them with whatever engine. There's the one. That was the one we used. Chiefly, we supplied that.
A Sandhurst petrol engine.
Mm-hmm. They used to make them up from rough castings.
Oh.
And they were shown how to machine. Various parts of what do you call it?
How many cadets would you normally have doing this?
Eight or nine.
Eight or nine every in the evening.
They used to do some marvellous models, some of them. Some of them did the other ones.
What, the petrol lightweight engine?
No, the other way. Steam engines.
Steam engines?
Yeah. Huh. But we were there to supervise, or rather, the two senior.
Yes.
Because they were really first class men at the job. They knew all how to do anything. For instance, if you got a rough casting of that petrol engine, what you used to do, you used to put it on a planer, which was a machine, and you used to plane it.
Yes.
So it was absolutely flat. Well, once you'd done that, you turned it upside down and you planed the other side.
Right.
So it was absolutely equal.
Absolutely true, both sides.
Both sides. Mm. That was the idea of it. That's a 1976 model.
Yeah, 67.
Catalogue, but actually, it's very similar to the 1936 catalogue.
Yes. Did these cadets who came to you have a background knowledge of engineering? And
no, I don't think so. They were amateur enthusiasts.
Starting from scratch?
Mm. They wanted to build something.
How did you get on with them as people?
Oh, very well. Mm. Very good. They just wanted to know how to do things and what to do. But as I say, most of them completed those engines.
Who were the other staff in that workshop?
A senior was a chap called Sam, but I can't think of his surname. And he was in the Royal Engineers when they were in South Africa.
In the Boer War?
In the Boer War, yeah. He drove a steam engine.
He must have had some stories to tell.
And the other chap was Tom. He was younger. He came from Bagshot. I don't know what his surname was. But he was very good.
Do you know where he'd learned engineering?
No. Never asked him.
Do you know if he'd been in the army?
Not so far as I know. They were both professional engineers. They were very good. They taught me a lot.
And so you're doing that, 1936 you started. Who were you actually working for? Were you working directly for the senior man in the workshop?
Well, we were working under this captain of the Royal Tank Regiment.
What sort of chap was he?
Oh, he was a very nice man, very nice man.
Was he a trained engineer?
He never had anything to do with the actual machining or construction or anything like that. He just oversaw the whole thing. He was the admin, you know.
Did you have a sort of regular working day?
Yes. Oh, yes.
What was the pay like in those days?
Dreadful. Well, it was better in the engineering design. I got more money than most.
Where were you living at the time? Were you living in the academy?
I was living with my mother and father.
Yeah. Did you have much contact with other members of the staff at the academy, or were you in your own world?
No, we were confined more or less. That's what we did. We never had any great contact with them. Any of the members of the staff, the other staff, military staff, or civilian servants, or anything like that.
Were there any changes to what you were doing between your arrival and the outbreak of war?
No. Up to the outbreak of war, we carried on as before.
What happened when the war began?
Well, the first thing they did was government sent some engineers to commandeer all the lathes. And they took all the 18, except one big one, which was independent motored. And that was a motored by an overhead platform. Belt driven, yeah.
So you lost all your tools?
Lost all the lathes.
Do you know what happened to them?
I suppose they went to war industry somewhere. Probably went into some factory. Because they're all fairly good lathes. Well, they were all hand operated. So the only people that could use them were professionals.
What could you do when your lathe had gone? So what happened to you?
I was drafted as a, what do you call it, storekeeper.
Oh. But were you back in the army?
Yes, because we were on six on the reserve, yeah, 6 years on the reserve. So it was all automatically drafted back into the army.
Where were you mobilised?
More or less in Sandhurst.
You were mobilised in Sandhurst. So you're back in the Royal Tank Regiment. Yeah. And where did you do your work as a storekeeper?
There's a lecture room at the back of the main building.
Yes.
You probably know it. And a storekeeper was done in there. Oh. What we did, when all the tanks come for training, because they trained all the cadets in tank warfare there, as you probably know.
Mm. When did that start? When did the Armoured Octo begin?
Started about 3 months after the war started. Oh.
So you became a storekeeper to the Octo. What did you have in the stores? What kind of stores were you keeping?
We had all spares to do with tanks, mm-hmm. and all different tools, all the tools required. Mm-hmm. And there was a heck of a lot of them.
How many types of tank did they have in the Octo?
They only had the one at that time.
What was that?
I think it was the Covenanter or the Crusader. Mm. Couldn't remember. Mm. It was later we got the Cromwell. Mm. Yeah, not later. That was the only one that sent it to a Tiger tank. Mm. Cromwell.
What did you actually do then day to day when you were in that new occupation?
You were always ordering new stock because there was all. Things used to break down tremendously. Mm. I was also in charge of the oil store.
Where was that?
That was in the opposite the. If you know, do you know? You know Sanders very well, don't you? Mm-hmm. Well, there's a governor's place. At the side. We used to keep all the oil in there.
Would that be the lubricating oil?
Lubricating oil.
Yeah. Where did they keep the fuel?
They built an underground tank, which they dug up after the war, by the way. Mm. But they used to be fuel from there.
Did you have a sort of regular working day?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
What were your hours then when you were...
Well, I worked till about 5 o'clock, I suppose. Yeah.
What time did you start in the morning?
Oh, about 7.
That's quite a long working day.
Yeah, it was a long day.
Longer than the civilian day. Mm. Mm. Were you very busy all the time?
Yes. They needed oil all the time, every time. Mm. I used to chuck it in 5 gallons. Mm.
Did that involve doing a lot of paperwork?
Yes, because you had to register what each tank used and when it used it and where they got it and so on.
But was that done by ledger or with a loose leaf system?
Loose leaf. Mm. But there were so many different types of oil. Mm. There was the oil for the little petrol engine, Briggs & Stratton petrol engine. They used to charge the battery. In most tanks. Mm. That was an American engine, by the way. And that needed a certain type of fuel and oil. And then the main engine needed something different. If it was a diesel, it needed different again. Mm. So on.
Where did you get the oil from for your own stocks?
It was brought in from all the shop.
Mm. How did you order it? Did you have to
indent? I didn't order it, no.
You didn't?
No.
So you were just issues?
I just issued it. Mm.
How many of you were there working in those stores?
There was a sergeant, a lance corporal, and a private. Mm.
And there was you as well? Mm. What were you? Were you a private or...
Yeah, private. I was boxing clever, I'm afraid. I was offered promotion and I refused it.
Why was that?
Well, if I was promoted, I should have been put on the, wouldn't I?
What you call it? What's that?
I should have been drafted to a unit that was ready to go to war. And I thought, well, why should I?
You wanted to stay where you were?
I was wanting to stay where I was.
Were you still living at home?
Yes. Mm. By that time, of course, I was married, so I had my own home.
Oh, I
one.
See. Right. When did you got married?
1938.
Ah.
Yeah, 38.
Oh, yes. Mm. So, you, in 1938, you must have thought that you were a civilian and you were settled for life.
And I was as stuffy as I could.
Yes.
Well, why wouldn't I?
But why couldn't you be drafted if you were a private? Presumably they could draft anybody.
Oh, yes,
they?
Yes. But I think I had some sort of status. I don't know what it was. But no. they assumed that since I was an engineer of sorts, I'd better stop and be an engineer of sorts. Mm. I don't know the reason, but they kept me there right through the war.
Where had the others come from, the sergeant and the lance corporal?
Oh, they were people who joined up and became storekeepers and all sorts of things.
Were they all Royal Tank Regiment?
Oh, no.
No?
No.
Did they stay for the whole war, or did they come and go?
They used to say, but once the war was over, they retired to civilian life again. Mm. They were only wartime soldiers.
But did they stay through the whole war?
Oh, yes.
They did?
Yes. Oh, yes. Once you were drafted, that was it.
Yeah. But did they stay at Sandhurst? Was it the same sergeant at the end of the war as at the beginning?
Yes.
It was?
Yeah.
So he must have been comfortable where
he
was.
I don't think we had any choice in the matter, really. Mm. You went where you were sent. Mm. That was it. Mm. In the end, I was sent to India.
When did that happen?
That happened early 45. No, early 44.
Early in 1944?
Yeah.
So you were disturbed, you were sent away from the service. How did that come about? Because you'd been careful to...
Well, the war in Europe was ending, and more or less. And the war in the Far East was still going strong, as you know. And they decided that they wanted all the men they could get over there for the final push, you know. Oh. And that's what happened.
How did you get to India?
By ship.
Where did you sail from?
Southampton.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you remember what you thought when you were told you were drafted and got to go to India?
Well, you had to accept it, didn't you? I wasn't too happy about it, but I thought, well, it's only fair, I suppose.
Did you know where you were going?
No.
You didn't? No. What was the voyage out like?
Very good, except when we were attacked by a German submarine.
Where was that?
The other side of the Bay of Biscay. Mm. That was quite calm, by the way. And all the troops were herded down into the bowels of the ship. And you could hear the destroyers dropping depth charges. And believe me, it's like being in a galvanized bin with a lid on. Bang! Ooh, everything shattered. Dreadful.
How long did that go on for?
Oh, about an hour or so.
Did you know what was happening at the time?
Mm. We had a rough idea, but they never told you anything. Mm. I don't know, they must have thought you were in missiles or something. Mm. But that was how it was then.
Was it part of a big convoy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, we came... Before we got to Jib, because the Mediterranean had been clear by that time, before we got to Jib, we were in a violent storm. We were all right. I mean, it didn't bother me. The wife was also a very good sailor, by the way. And there was all these transports and rather civilian ships. Yeah, the cargo ships and that. And all of them, I remember seeing them bouncing up and down, and there was rows of tanks on the upper deck. Blimey. I thought, if they're going to sink, sink quick.
What kind of ship were you on? Was it a troop ship?
It was a liner.
A liner.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It was called the... forgotten. Mm. It will come to me.
Mm. How were you accommodated in the liner?
Below decks.
Yeah.
The ATS and RAF girls and that, they were on the upper decks, and the officers above that, you know. Mm. Oh, we were the riffraff, we were the common.
Were you in hammocks or were you in bunks?
No, I slept under a table. Oh. Throughout the voyage.
Do you know how many ships there were in convoy altogether?
20 or 30, I suppose. Mm-hmm.
What about the escort?
Oh, about 6 destroyers at that time, I think. Because the Battle of the Atlantic was more or less over.
Do you know if the submarine was actually sunk? Or?
I couldn't say. Yeah. Couldn't say. Mm. He certainly had a nerve, anyway. Because at that time, the old thing was lost, wasn't it?
Were there any other alarms on the way out?
No. No, when we got to... is it Port Suez first? Mm-hmm. Or Port Said?
Port Suez, I think.
Port Suez. Mm. When we got there, there was a graveyard of ships where the Germans had bombed the ships while they were waiting to go into the canal. And they killed... And there was... masts and funnels sticking up all over. There was a three funnel liner that looked perfect from a distance, but a bomb had gone straight through one funnel, the centre funnel, into straight through to the bomb. But from a distance, she looked perfect.
Did you go ashore at all on the way? No. You were on the ship all the time?
All the time. Yeah. Although when we were waiting to go through port into the canal, we had all these Egyptians coming around trying to sell us stuff. Yeah. We were warned about that.
Where did you arrive when you got to India?
We arrived at Bombay.
What was your first impression of India when you got there?
Well, it was quite a good, really, because we went through the gateway of the gateway to India. Yeah. It was a big arch thing. The Bombay harbour was absolutely covered with ships, swamped with ships. All unloading, you know, stores and things for the final push against the Japs.
Did you know anything about what had been going on in the Far East? Did you have a...
Oh, yes, it's a very good idea. Yeah. Oh, yes. We knew about General Slim and then what was his name, the chap who got killed?
Wingate?
No, not Wingate. No, he was different.
Yeah.
No, it was... one of the royal family, what was his name?
Mountbatten.
Mountbatten.
Yes.
He was her royal charge.
Yeah. Where did you go to from Bombay?
We went to... I can't think of the name of these places. Not anymore.
Were you part of a draft?
Yeah.
Yeah. How many of you were there in the draft?
Oh, it took three steam engines, as they were then, to take us over the Southern Ghats.
Yes.
Into central India. Yeah. And that took 24 hours.
So 24 hours on the train. Yeah. What happened when you got to your destination?
Oh, we went into barracks. Mm. What was the name of the place? Good. Can't think of it. Mm.